بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, we are in the month of Rabiul Awwal, the month of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to understand the sunnah of Rasulullah and to live our lives according to that beautiful way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to all of us in order to help us to be successful in this world and the next. I submit to you that there are two ways to guide anyone. One is to give them a map and leave it to them to follow the map. The other one is to send a guide with the map who teaches them how to read the map and guides them on the right path, course correcting as necessary so that they can never be lost. In corporate consulting, we recommend a course of action and then run a pilot program as proof of concept to demonstrate the benefits of following our recommendation. That not only builds credibility in the new way, but also prevents costly mistakes from being made. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that method, the latter method, when He decided to give the world a new way of life for the last time. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to make dua for guidance to the path, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, and not to the destination, which is Jannah. The path of those He blessed and not those who incurred His anger or became misguided. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. And that is the dua that we make at least 17 times a day when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha in every salah. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this dua and He said, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He is the one, Jalla Jalaluhu, who sent His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with right guidance and the religion of truth, making it prevail over all others. And sufficient is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a witness. The question to ask is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted my dua and sent His messenger, but am I following Him, the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or someone else? Let us ask this before we are asked when we meet Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only accepted our dua, but He also told us what the result of following His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be. The way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Islam, would become the most preferred and the prevalent way of life on earth. Today, we wonder at how certain negative and harmful lifestyles and choices have become so prevalent and powerful, when just a few years ago, they were despised and kept hidden. That is the power of living your choice with confidence. No matter what it is, if you do it with confidence, the world will follow you. If this is possible with negative things, how much more is it possible with positive things? But when the ignorant and confident, when the ignorant are confident and the knowledgeable are diffident and apologetic, ignorance will prevail. Remember that when the truth must be spoken, silence is culpable and punishable. Rasulullah ﷺ and all those who followed Him in excellence demonstrated this and will be our witnesses. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they are witnesses for us and not against us. Everything we have in this world, from the air we breathe, produced by trees we cut, to gravity which cancels the centrifugal force of the spinning of the earth and saves us from flying off into space, to water which came from outer space and is the most ancient substance on earth, essential to survival of all living things, locked into a perennial cycle of self-purification and renewal. To the northern lights, evidence of the shield, the electromagnetic shield that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed to protect us from solar flares, a single one of which would be enough to reduce us and our arrogance to ash. From love in the heart to courage to iman, which makes those who have lost limbs and families in Gaza ask questions related to the fiqh of wudu and salah and the permissibility of adopting an orphan who not only doesn't have parents but who has nobody in the world. From the food we eat to our health and wealth, families and friends, power and authority, to happiness and the equanimity to face grief, for tahajjud and his descent jalla jalaluhu to the lowest heaven and offer to accept our dua, and even more for the tawfiq to get up and pray and ask him to forgive us, and most of all for his mercy and forgiveness, his generosity and grace, his glory and majesty, and the faculty to recognize it as such and fall in sujood and say subhanallah and Allahu Akbar instead of saying wow or oh my God. Every single one of them, all that I mentioned, and all those that I cannot possibly mention or even count, are the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why he said jalla jalaluhu, وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُهُ وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. He said, and he has granted you all that you asked him for. If you try to count Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, you would never be able to number them. Indeed, humankind is totally unfair, totally ungrateful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the shakirin. He jalla jalaluhu gave us all this and more. Yet the only blessing that he drew our attention to and called that his blessing on us is the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam among us. It is very important to reflect on the Quran, on the meaning and import of the words used and the way they are used to emphasize certain things. This is because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes something, it makes it essential for us to acknowledge that and to ensure that we express our gratitude for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and emphasized his statement, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعْثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Indeed, Allah has done the believers a great favor by raising a messenger from among them, reciting to them his revelation, the ayat of Allah, purifying them and teaching them the book and wisdom, for indeed they had previously been clearly astray, misguided and ignorant. Allah said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have simply said, مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized two things in this ayah. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ and لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah said, the fact that the sending of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was human, is a double blessing, and that before the coming of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the believers had been misguided. This is the most certain evidence that guidance is only in the way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and through Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that all other ways that do not come from him or bypass him are misguidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with four connected duties. Another way to understand it is to see these four as progressive stages of learning and guidance. Four steps to Jannah. يَتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. These four are recite, purify, teach, and demonstrate. recite the ayat, purify the person, the heart's internal and external purification, teach them the meaning of the ayat, and demonstrate how they are to be followed and obeyed. From the perspective of the audience, which is us, these four steps would be to listen very carefully, to purify ourselves, to learn diligently, and to practice assiduously and consistently. These four are not independent of each other, but a continuum, like a staircase, which takes you to the top. We must experience each of these to benefit. If we leave out a stage, we will fail. The Quran tells us that Ibrahim alayhi salam made this dua when he built the Kaaba. رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَيُزَكِّهِمْ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. He said, which means, O our Rabb, raise from among them a messenger who will recite to them your revelations, teach them the book and wisdom, and purify them. Indeed, you alone are the Almighty, All-Wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Ibrahim alayhi salam his dua, but changed the order of what he asked, for which underlines for us the importance of the sequence of learning. Today, this is our biggest problem. Our biggest problem today is that we have changed this order. Out of the four steps or stages, we focused on two and almost totally discarded the other two, mostly paying lip service to them, but nothing more. We focused on the recitation of the Quran, which comes with it, and what comes with it, which is hifz and tajweed. But we ignore tazkiyatun nafs wa tarbiyatul akhlaq, the purification of the soul and the heart, and adab and manners, our muamilat in this world. Then we focused on teaching the book, that is the ulumul sharia, and we produce muftis almost today, almost exclusively in Islamic finance, because they get jobs on the sharia boards of banks, including Islamic banking windows in commercial interest-based banks, and ignored the practice of the sunnah. The tragedy is that when we separated tazkiyah, which is purification, from ta'aleem, which is teaching, and we separated ta'aleem, which is teaching, from amal, which is action, the noor left the ilm, and only the words remained. That is how we can recite beautifully the ayat about the glory and majesty of Allah, but the fear of makhluq remains in our heart. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the whole life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only his words, as an excellent example for those who look forward to meeting him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the characteristics of the believers, of the Muslims, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا لهم درجات عند ربهم ومغفرة ورزق كريم. In Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily the believers are only those who, when the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before them, their hearts shiver with the glory and majesty of Allah. It's not just the recitation. The recitation must produce the corresponding effect in the heart. What is the effect in our hearts? It's not just a question of tune. It's not just a question of pronouncing and the makharij of this harf and that harf. The question is, what does it do to the heart? May Allah have mercy on us, it does nothing to our hearts. And Allah said, when the ayat of Allah are recited before them, their iman increases. Our iman remains where it is. Our hearts remain in zulmat. Our hearts remain dark. The noor of Allah does not illuminate the heart, does not drive out the anxieties and the fears and the aspirations and the love of this dunya. And when these two things happen, when the heart shivers with the glory and majesty of Allah, and when the ayat of Allah illuminate this heart, the heart has complete and total faith and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the amal. What is the manifestation of this feeling, of this state of the mind and the heart in the outer world, in the world of behavior? Allah said, they establish salah and they spend from what we have given them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a certificate and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witness, ulaika humul mu'minun haqqa. Allah said, only these people are the true believers. And then Allah gave them darajat. Allah said, lahum darajatun inda rabbihim wa maghfiratun wa rizqun kareem. For them there are stages of glory and there are stages of honor with their Rabb, and there is the forgiveness of their Rabb jalla jalaluhu, and there is beautiful provision with dignity and honor. That is the reason why Rasulullah's life was given to us and shown to us as the best possible example. For the one who looks forward to the meeting with Allah, for the one who loves Allah, Allah said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah said, indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, you have an excellent example for whoever has hope in Allah, whoever looks forward to the meeting with Allah, and whoever looks forward to the last day, to the day of judgment, and whoever remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal. The path to Jannah is his entire life, not selective obedience, picking and choosing what suits us. I gave the example of how we teach Ulumuddin, but this applies even more powerfully, or should I say, even more destructively, to how we teach secular knowledge and how we lead our lives. This is why when we study the life of Rasulullah and his Sahaba, it sounds like a fairy tale or a legend, not real. To get results, we need to use the entire recipe in the right order. To help you understand, in conclusion, think agriculture, think planting, think farming. If you are a farmer and you get a consignment of the best seeds in the world and you want to plant them to get the best harvest, what is the first thing that you would do? You would prepare the soil and ensure that the soil was free from all toxic things and conducive to growth. You would set up the irrigation system. You would fence the field. Only then would you plant the seeds. If you simply threw the seeds on the earth, on the ground, either they would perish, or even if they germinated, you would not get any harvest. Islam is a practice. Islam is agriculture. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the example of an ear of corn with 7 ears each with 100 grains. It is about the multiplier effect. But what will happen only if we follow the sequence, and this will happen only if we follow the sequence and ensure that all the conditions are satisfied. I advise myself and you to change our ways and to ensure that when we read or teach the Quran, we focus not only on the pronunciation, but even more on the understanding of what we recite and its effect on our hearts, and monitor that effect. And then to look at how the one who received the Quran practiced it in his life and what he taught. And then try to practice that in our lives to the best of our ability. Our mother, Umma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, when they asked her about the life of Rasulullah, she said his life was the Quran. This whole thing, this would be the whole sequence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the life of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a pilot program to prove that Islam works. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come to tell us about Islam. He came to teach us how to do Islam. The Sahaba didn't learn about Islam. They learned to do Islam, to practice Islam. Like any martial art, you can learn about it and become an expert, or you can do it and become an expert. Both are experts, but only one will remain standing if he is attacked in the street. Islam prepares us not only to remain standing, but to teach others how to fight and win the great battle, between good and evil, between virtue and vice, between shaitan and his agents and ourselves. That way is the way of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that way is the sunnah. It was the sunnah, the way of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which took his sahaba from being the most oppressed, the weakest, the most despised and victimized people to becoming the role models and rulers of their world in a period of 23 years. The Quran is the blueprint, the Sunnah is the method, the manual, the field book. Without that, the blueprint cannot be used. The teacher did his job to perfection. It is for us to learn and practice it, to live it the way he showed us, if we want to succeed. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for his help and his mercy and his forgiveness. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.